Welcome to Radio Free Dartmouth. Actually, this is Coffee Break, and I'm Neil Damgard. We're on the podcast. Dun, dun, dun. So we're glad you came into the podcast today. I'm Neil Damgard. This is the 196th podcast.
No, 76.
76th podcast. There we go. And I'm here with Bob Perrin from South Coast Multimedia, and we're having a good time on the podcast these days. Jumping around from super serious topics to lighthearted topics. Today is a little bit of a lighthearted topic, a fun topic. At least it is to me. We'll see what Bob thinks. But I'm interested in talking with you today about radio. There really isn't such a thing as Radio Free Dartmouth. That goes back to the 60s. What was that called? Radio Free?
Radio Free Europe.
Europe.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. So, Bob, I listen to the radio quite a bit. Always have. And do you listen to the radio at all?
Only when I'm in my car.
So vehicle radio kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And what, pray tell, do you listen to on the radio?
Well,
dead space. He listens to thrash metal, folks.
I listen to classic rock.
Okay.
Or, and people are going to hate me for this, because it's really not good to listen to, National Public Radio.
Interesting. So what's the attractiveness of NPR for you?
Well, on there are some funny shows on in the morning, like on I think it's on the weekend mornings, and I can't remember the name of them, but they have these like contestant radio shows.
Okay,
and they're kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times when there's the music isn't any good, you know, you're listening to, you know, just trash. I'll go there and catch the news, but I mean, it's all liberal, but.
But you do listen to NPR. That's interesting. That I would not. Yeah, you're right. I don't know that people will hate you for it, but it's within many of our circles. It's sort of the bane of radio broadcasting because it is, yeah, I guess very liberal. I don't know. I don't listen to NPR. I listen to a lot of different kinds of stuff, and I always have. And I started listening to radio when I was very young, listening to a station in the D.C. area called WEAM, WEAM Radio, which was Top 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. My mother listened to the same station and all the same songs that I did, which I thought was a little weird. But I loved radio then. And then in high school, we discovered FM.
Mm-hmm.
WEAM was AM, and then there was FM.
Mm-hmm.
And we listened to, and then, man, that was really great because the quality of the sound was better. They started broadcasting in stereo,
mm-hmm.
and we loved that. And then we started listening to underground radio. Man, and there was a station called WPGC, excuse me, not WPGC, WMOD and WHFS. This was like in my senior year of high school. It was so cool. And they played long, you know, whole albums and
mm-hmm.
and very little commercials, and it was really, yeah. So I loved radio then for FM. Then I sort of dropped off for a while. Wouldn't listen to a lot of radio in college. There was the college station, but and then I had become a Christian halfway through college, and then when Renee and I got married and lived in D.C., there was a Christian radio station. We started learning about that, mm-hmm. and there was a whole network called Family Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Family Radio?
I have not, no.
Well, it was a network across the nation, and it was headquartered, I think, in Oakland, California, or something like mm-hmm. that. And the guy that headed it up turned out later to be kind of crazy.
Imagine that.
What a shock. Well, it was interesting because we listened to, both of us listened to Family Radio, and they had a station in Annapolis, Maryland, near mm-hmm. the Naval Academy, and we loved this Christian station, but they had a Bible teacher who would answer questions and late at night, and I would listen to him, and that was always kind of interesting, and years and years and years later, that teacher predicted the second coming of Christ, and it didn't happen. And so he sort of went down in flames after that and got ridiculed because we'd listened to him years and years before that on Christian radio. And then, of course, Christian radio exploded and now there's Christian radio all over the place.
Yeah.
And then in our area here, K-Love came to town and K-Love broadcasts off the UMass Dartmouth campus.
Mm-hmm.
What a strange thing. And our church hosts a K-Love emergency site.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's kind of cool, proud of. If the electromagnetic bomb comes and knocks everything out in the state of Massachusetts, we're one of those places that goes up on an emergency. I'm making this up, but so that's kind of cool. But radio is an interesting thing, and it has changed a lot. Now we have satellite radio,
right?
And internet radio.
And internet radio.
Do you ever listen to internet radio?
I do.
What do you like?
Well, I listen to Pandora because you get to pick your own
and isn't that
genre?
Cool?
Yeah. But you don't get to pick your own song. You don't list. Unless you subscribe. Is that true?
Yeah. I think so. I'm making it up here. Okay. I don't know. I'm guessing.
And then I listen when I want to feel pretentious and snobby. I listen to one called The Lounge. The Lounge is out of Monte Carlo.
Ooh, France?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's its own place, but it's south of France.
Okay.
And it's like a jazz kind of bossa nova kind of thing. And I'm into that I get my moods. And I listen to that. And then, of course, I mean, you can find anything on YouTube.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And there's some classical ones I listen to as well. But a lot of classical stuff. I'll just search YouTube and find some classical pieces I have never heard of. From composers I love, and then I find pieces that I've never heard
of. It's endless.
Oh, and I'm telling you, I get blown away. And I post them every once in a while. Nobody listens to them.
Yeah, but that's okay. I started a Facebook page
called
ND's Music Mart, which is a really which only makes the point that I do not have the gift of naming stuff. Really a dumb name. And I know that, but I have fun with it. I post pretty much a song a day, and I get a few listens. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. But that's all computer-based. It's all internet, you know. So I listen to satellite radio, which is fun, and I have to pay for that.
Yeah, and that's Sirius.
That's Sirius XM satellite radio. Yeah. And I only listen to it on the truck. I could listen to it on my phone, but I don't listen to the radio on my phone because I'm like talking on the phone when I'm talking using my phone. So I listen to that, and so there's all these stations there that are fun. And the one I listen to the most is Doctor Radio.
Doctor Radio.
Doctor Radio.
Call me.
Yeah.
Doctor Radio.
And it's goofy because, I mean, it's just fun because they have all these shows. The pulmonology show, the internal medicine show, the emergency medicine show, the men's sexual health show, the, child psychiatry show. And they're all out of NYU, the Langone Medical Center in New York City. All these doctors. All the time, 24 hours a day, different show each hour. And I tell you, it's fun. It's interesting. And I don't listen to... I mean, I listen to a show 5 minutes at a time when I'm in the truck, And so, but I've been listening to that for a couple of years, and I really enjoy it.
That would be, I think, pretty heavy stuff. I mean, it's not like the knee bone's connected to the shin bone kind of stuff.
It gets into, and there's call-in. People call in, with all kinds of questions about medications. And my doctor said this. Can you second-guess him? And, it's like a free second opinion. Yeah, they do that a lot, and that's fun. It's interesting. Yeah, so satellite
I see a
radio.
Lawsuit coming.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're very careful. They're very careful about the boundaries of what they can say and don't. And sometimes people try to press them a little bit, but I've learned a lot, I never remember any of it, of course, because it's all in, weird vocabulary, medical terminology, but it's fun, and I like it, and I've been listening to it pretty consistently for a while now, and pay a few bucks for that. Another thing I'm going to confess to you, Bob, that I listen to, and you're going to be my father confessor here. Because
you say disco, I'm going to slap you.
No, I don't listen to disco. I do like the Bee Gees, by the way, but I don't listen to disco. But I confess to you, and this is something people are going to hate me for.
Oh, I get a Photoshop picture now.
Uh-oh, here it comes. Staying alive, that's right. Yeah, Barry Gibb, Pastor Neil. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, so hit the cough button, Bob. The radio shows have cough buttons.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah. I listen to talk radio. I confess it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to repent of it.
I like talk radio, too.
I listen to a lot of talk radio. The only not conservative talk radio show that I consistently listen to, it's not really talk radio, but... I would call it not conservative, that I find really helpful and interesting is the BBC. I listen to the BBC for news that you'll never hear in this.
Right.
I
listen to them online.
Yeah.
And some of the news sites I go, I like going to RT. Now, you know what RT is short
I don't.
For?
What's RT?
Russian Times.
Huh.
Okay. I will tell you, you want to hear news that you're not going to hear in the United States, you go there and check it out.
Interesting.
And I think it's...
Online you listen to that?
Yeah.
And I listen to Imus. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely not conservative by any means. But to be honest with you, I find that show with the people, the attitudes they have, I don't agree with them probably politically, probably 60% of the time, but they're very common sense. And I enjoy it. It's funny at times, but I have to say, I really enjoy Imus in the Morning, and I have for a long time now. And there's all kinds of talk radio shows that I catch 5 minutes at a time here and there, but consistently.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Is radio something that I wonder the demographics? Who listens to radio? Mm. I wonder if you see a sharp drop in listenership for people under, let's say, 30 or 40 years old.
I would guess. I don't even hear young people talking about Pandora very much. My wife just signed on to Pandora. Mm-hmm. She completely loves Pandora. Mm-hmm. Pandora works for her because she walks a lot, and she's able to get it on her phone and downloads it, and it's great.
Right. But that's not people. Even on the airways. I mean, that's an internet-based. I'm talking about AM/FM radio.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't hear them talking about it very much. Mm-hmm. If they get their news, they get it on their phone. That's internet-based. In fact, almost most of them get it on their phone. Mm-hmm. That's where they get so much of the news. And that's interesting. We're seeing a real shift. I don't hear young people talking about radio much at all, at least the ones that I hang with. Radio's part of my whole upbringing, probably yours too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, radio goes back probably 90 years it's been around.
Yeah. And it's probably... Well, first off, let me say this. Radio is pretty much owned, at least talk radio, is pretty much owned by conservatives. It's probably the one area in media that conservatives...
I don't even hear a lot of left-wing, liberal-minded talk shows. They just don't sell.
Yeah. Well, except for Imus and a few others that. But
he's as intolerant of left-wing, extreme... people as he is of right wing.
Yeah.
He trashes them, But okay, yeah. But you make a good point.
So I wonder, and then the technology is probably, outdated.
Radio?
Radio.
Yeah. It's funny, my dad, I grew up when I was a little kid, my dad had a shortwave radio in the basement that he brought back from Germany from the war, World War II, I should say. There's so many wars since World War II now, you got to specify which war we're talking about. That he would sit down in the basement in the middle of the night and listen to the Soviet Union, listen to Germany, listen to Norway. He didn't understand what he was hearing, but he just loved listening to it. That's, that's tube-based shortwave radio.
Yeah. I remember back in the 70s, when CB radios were really big.
Yeah,
you hear all these songs about CB radios. Right. I don't even know if they still exist. I tend to think they don't now anymore. Citizen band radio.
I think truckers still use them. Those. I think so, yeah.
But you never
because people talk about scanners. They still have scanners, in their homes that they're listening to. They're listening
police scanners and things like that.
Yeah, they're still listening to Citizens Band Radio. But yeah, that came and went.
So I just
a convoy.
A convoy.
Remember that song?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I had a buddy in the service that was really into that stuff, so I know quite a few of them. That's unfortunately,
fun. It was fun for a while, I had a couple of those at one time or another. Yeah. You take a trip and put one of those up, and the truckers won't talk to you because they know you're a nerd. But we went through that.
Yeah, so I mean, those kind of things are kind of fading out now. And I'm sure young people are not building CB radios now.
Oh, certainly not. Heathkit. Remember the Heathkit? That was a company that you would buy it's funny, I hadn't even thought about this in decades until we just said that, build a radio. Yeah, Heathkit was a company you could buy a kit and build yourself a radio. And that was, people don't do that anymore. Definitely not.
And maybe that's a good thing now. I mean, maybe it's, We have the internet now. We have satellite radio, and we have choices. You can make your own playlist and just
And isn't that interesting where you can say, you know what, I don't want to have to just listen endlessly to songs I don't particularly like. Mm-hmm. I want to construct. It's almost like a concentrated drug. Mm-hmm. I can sniff cocaine nonstop now and just really feel good. That you're looking at me like that's a terrible illustration.
Yeah, it is.
I'm
not
sorry.
Your best illustration.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I've never sniffed cocaine, so I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying, that you can concentrate your pleasure and your enjoyment. And I do this with YouTube. Mm. I do this. You do it too, probably. Construct playlists of just what you like.
Yeah, but. I mean, it's like going to the restaurant and just ordering the same thing over and over again. You know, I want the surf and turf here, but I'm never going to try what you got over here.
Yeah,
why do I got to feel obligated to do something out of what I like?
Why can't I just have what I like?
Because you may find that you like something that you never would have thought of.
But I already know I like these songs, Bob. I like 12 straight songs of Debussy. Why do I got to explore Rachmaninoff? Give me a break.
Because you might find, this is impossible, but you might find somebody you actually like better than Debussy. Okay.
If you say so.
I have found people that have come close.
To Debussy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, is radio dying? You know, probably not as long as we have vehicles. When we get to the Jetsons stage and we're going at light speed over to in our little suitcase car to work and back in 30 mm-hmm. seconds. But until then, and we have vehicles, that's where I do all of my radio mm-hmm. listening. I remember when this conversation touches a little bit on television, in that you know radio starts in the 20s and goes until the 40s. The heyday of radio is really, I mean, at least when it was the only media, mm-hmm. medium, electronic medium, yeah. is 20 years.
Yeah.
Because by 1949, television begins.
Right.
And in 10 years, television completely, by 1959, completely taken over the country.
Right.
Everybody has one. Yeah. Everybody's using them. That we love them, you know?
And now TV has changed. Nobody has analog TV. Nobody's got those rabbit ears now. They don't even... You can't even get that. You can't even buy those anymore. All you got now is flat screens. I don't even think you can buy... I don't think you cannot even buy an HD... Anything less than an HD TV now.
I don't think you can. I remember I was in London in 2001... So that's how long ago? 15 years ago? Mm-hmm. I'm walking around in London seeing stores that have these flat-screen TVs, and we didn't have any in the United States. I didn't even know what they were. And said, mm-hmm. Look at that. Yeah. What is that? That's cool. Is that coming? Sure enough.
Yeah.
Within 5 years, it's totally dominated. And, yeah, very high def. So television is an interesting medium, too. But back to radio, I hope it doesn't die out before I die out. Because I really enjoy live conversation. I like what we're doing here on the podcast is sort of like radio, isn't it? Except that people can download it anytime. That's an advancement.
They can listen to it anytime. They can pause it. They can, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, you know. But they can't call in. And you know, live conversation, I think, is pretty interesting.
Yes, it is, and that's a good point. Yeah, that
particularly with news. So, for instance, if some news item is going on, I mean, we learn about it immediately. We learn visually immediately because of our phones and the internet. Maybe if you're sitting in front of a computer or have an iPad or something, you'll watch the video of the news thing happening as it's happening. But when you can hear it and hear the conversation. As it's happening, that's pretty. I mean, sports. Look at sports, mm-hmm. radio and sports. That'll never die, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I suppose MLB and NFL. You buy these packages and you're watching 150 ball games in 1 week or something. I suppose that doesn't have anything to do with radio. But I like listening to the Yankees and the Red Sox on radio.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you another thing. Another reason why I think that radio will go away. As analog TV has gone away, because once the free stuff is disappearing.
Yes.
That's
everything
right.
Everything now comes with a price tag.
Yeah, and they get you because they say, well, this is only $4 a month.
Yeah.
You and I have both been snookered, sucked in, completely dominated.
I know what you mean.
The wonder of
Netflix,
you know.
That's not snookered, man. That's like life support now. No, I'm only kidding.
Life support, that's funny. And it's an endless mine of wonderfulness, isn't it? Oh, man, I can't believe what's on. But then stuff goes away. I really miss 24. That's gone from Netflix, yeah. You know. But anyway, so our need for media stimulation is endless, mm-hmm. and but for me it started with radio, and I still listen to radio. I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
What more can we say about it? I don't know. Christian radio. We haven't said a lot about that yet. I gotta tell you, I've always loved Christian radio and used it and supported it, but sometimes its quality just doesn't cut the mustard. Just doesn't come up to. And that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes. Well,
you'd think Christians would come up with some excellent stuff.
The problem is, I think, and I have not, I don't ever listen to K-Love unless my wife's been in the car before me and she's got on the station. And it's
no,
not,
no, don't get sexist on us now. Don't say women just love the, yeah, yeah anyway.
But I think it's the same thing with Christian bookstores or Christian radio. There's such a wide spectrum of people that call themselves Christian and a wide spectrum of beliefs that in order to stay in business, they have to, the owner of the radio station or the owner of the bookstore has to offer a wide variety of stuff,
products,
that someone is going to find offensive or they're going to disagree with. So if I walk into a Christian bookstore and I see a whole wall of like Joel Osteen and the book I'm looking for by, you know, Ian Murray isn't there. You know,
Ian Murray,
which it isn't going to be there.
No, it's not going to be there, man. That's, you know, that's a very narrow niche.
Yeah,
the Ian Murray crowd. Yeah, right.
So,
you know, I'm listening right now to what was originally a radio series that you can get on CD, and I borrowed it from somebody, and I'm really enjoying it. But it was a Christian radio sort of came up with this idea of Christian drama.
Mm.
And so they will dramatize all kinds of stories. What I'm listening to is the story of Luke,
mm-hmm.
the physician, and how, and this is all speculative, of course, because we don't have any historical data really on how he put together his gospel. But the focus on the family, mm-hmm. who was all radio, put together a radio drama series, quite long, actually. I've been listening to it for 2 weeks, and I'm only a third of the way into it, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's like looking at 24, seven seasons of it or something. I go, oh, I like this, and man, it's not ending anytime soon.
You're comparing Luke to Jack Bauer?
Well, I don't know what part of the brain one appeals to and the part of the brain the other one appeals to, but and that's a thing that was all broadcast on radio when it was created a while back. It was quite good. Mm-hmm. And they use it was funny because all of the actors and actresses are British.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're listening to the Bible stuff all in a British accent. Is that the way they talk, you know?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Oh, blimey. No, they don't say that. But that's radio based. Now, then, of course, they figure out ways to market products beyond radio, and this is a CD version of it. But I really enjoy it. I would like to have listened to it at the time that it was broadcast. But so, maybe, you know, where are we going with this? I don't know. I guess we're only saying. I said this was a lighthearted topic, and it is. It's not not really a deep meditative thing, but we're watching where this technology takes us. Transistor radio. My father bought me a transistor radio, which was the size of my phone, in probably 1962. A Panasonic. Whoever heard of Panasonic in 1962? Transistor radio with a little ear piece, and I went around listening to, you know, Elvis and Ricky Nelson and the Beach Boys in probably 64 on, you know, for just loved it. That was, the transistor was an incredible piece of technology that changed our lives. And then the transistor, you know, there's 6 billion of them on one little tiny chip now. But technology drives entertainment and media, and media, the hunger for media drives the development of technology too. So you say Pandora, we're doing internet based radio now, and there are endless apps now that you can get to accommodate your, you know, your sense of radio. Sirius XM has an app that you can use. It's quite cool.
Yeah, I really like Sirius, but I can't afford.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it's 10 bucks a month or something for that, and you're lining up to see 10 bucks a month for Netflix, 10 bucks a month for this. Pretty soon, you're spending $3,000 a year on media. You know, so but, you can't do that.
You know, one of the things that we touched upon with internet radio, number one, your audience potential increases 1,000-fold.
Yeah.
And you can find a niche. I've always, this is like.
Nietzsche is a philosopher, isn't he? Friedrich Nietzsche.
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
N-I-C-H-E. Niche. It's niche.
Niche. Okay.
Yeah.
You find your niche, and you can focus on the Ian Murray crowd rather than the Joel Osteen crowd or the whatever other crowd. So if I want to do Christian talk radio, and I can identify really solid, doctrinally sound people who do Christian, you know, do sermons or do some kind of podcast or whatever, and I can line them up, and I can, you know, as a radio owner, internet radio, and I can line those shows up and just
feed yourself good nutrition,
or feed other people who are dying for that kind of stuff. Yeah.
You know that brings me to another subject that I think is important. Maybe we'll end with this one about radio, but probably spiritually speaking, one of the most significant aspects of the development of radio is Christian radio that would take the gospel places where it couldn't be heard.
Right.
And so Trans World Radio, TWR, was a big, big, big ministry headquartered in Quito, Ecuador, of all places, for a long time. I don't even know if TWR even still exists or not. I haven't followed it for a good while. But, you know, and there was Far East Broadcasting. There were mission organizations that were set up based on the technology of radio broadcast, long distance. And so the gospel could be broadcast into all kinds of places that were not allowed to hear it, or that there just weren't missionaries or Christian pastors and congregations in those places. And so then over probably maybe 20, 30, 40 years, it dawns on people, let's deliberately shoot the gospel into those places by radio.
Right.
And they begin to target countries that where it was prohibited, but they couldn't block it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could block you. They could make it illegal for you to listen to it in your country, or for you to have a radio even. And then they started airdropping either solar-powered or crank-powered radios into these places. So, you know, you didn't even have to have batteries anymore.
Right.
You could just crank the thing or put it in the sunshine. What an amazing innovation and cool thing because of the gospel. We're excited to get the gospel to people, like the videos you're doing for us. That one on DBC 401 is wonderful, you know, as the gospel changes lives. And if we can broadcast it, I used to listen to all these testimonies. There was a time, many years, where I listened to J. Vernon McGee through the Bible radio. And he's still on. I mean, he's been dead for, you know, what, 15 years now, and he's still broadcasting, you know, which is pretty cool. But then every broadcast, they share letters. People in all kinds of places around the world that hear these broadcasts and begin to listen to them regularly and get fed.
Yeah.
And isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. And he, and the fact that he's been dead all that time. Yeah, I mean, what other personality, Christian personality, do you know that has been dead and they're still playing the shows?
Yeah, not many.
No.
Not many. Yeah. Martin Lloyd-Jones is one.
Yeah.
His sermons.
Yeah.
But McGee specifically, you know, did radio. Mm. He was intentionally doing radio broadcasts. Yeah. And I'll never forget that his voice.
Right.
His voice is distinctive and very southern and all of that, you know. But may I tell you this?
Yeah.
You know, may I say to you.
And you mentioned Martin Lloyd-Jones, who happened to be the pastor of
Westminster Chapel.
Ian Murray.
Oh, Ian Murray. He was his pastor.
That's right, yeah.
Wow, Ian Murray keeps coming back to haunt us here.
I'm putting plugs for
you. You're like your old brother.
Ian Murray.
Did you really?
Good
for you.
Yeah.
I have a couple of his books.
Yeah.
So, anyway, radio is fun. Radio is important. Radio is something God has used immensely. You know, whether it stays around or not, we can't tell, but we listen to it. We enjoy it. Yeah.
You know, one thing I want to say about radio, and I mentioned this earlier, is that Christians and conservatives, and I hate to use those words together like they're the same meaning. They're not.
They're not, Bob.
They're not. That's right. I know that.
For all you listening to this podcast.
Yeah. you know, we seem to have owned that. And the thing, you know, their media is so important. And I touched upon this in a video I did where I talk about the Gutenberg press, okay?
Yeah.
And the church wanted to destroy it, okay?
Because it was a threat?
It was a threat.
Mm.
And, but it was used to print Bibles that, you know, went around the world. The internet, internet radio, satellite radio, these are all things I think Christians need to take
exploit.
Control over. Not just exploit. They got to take control of it. They got to fight to get these things back and get these out of the hands of these evil people that seem to be running the show. And I don't know how to do that. I'm not suggesting an armed insurgence or anything like that, but...
I don't know. You raise an interesting question. Is the you know, it's like a lot of things that we experience in modern life. There's a good side. There's a bad side to it, and we delight in the ease with which radio or internet media is accessed, but then we grieve at the same time at the evil that is propagated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of Joseph Goebbels in the Third Reich and how he used radio for their propaganda purposes, and it probably infected millions and millions of people just because radio had just been invented 10 years. And probably not even 10 years before the Third Reich got underway.
Mm-hmm.
And Goebbels was, you know, had insight and a certain brilliance, albeit evil, where he said, we're going to grab this tool and use this for our purposes, you know. And so we grieve the bad use of media, while at the same time we rejoice in the good use of media. And frankly, we're hungry for every new innovation. I read articles, tech articles, about what's coming in several sources.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's interesting. You go, man, that's cool. I can't wait till that happens, you know. And And so there's good and there's bad.
It's frightening stuff.
We need
stuff
to be discerning. And, what's that?
Frightening stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from a
I
business thing, I was just reading about these virtual reality and 360 cameras now.
Yeah.
You know, and if this catches on, you know, there's no way
we're going to be on the holodeck.
We're
going to be on the holodeck before we know it, you know. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, this has been Coffee Break. Bob, any other closing observations on the subject of radio?
Tune in next week.
On our next Radio Free Dartmouth broadcast, podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Neil Damgard. This is www.neildamgard.com with Bob Perrin from South Coast Multimedia on Coffee Break.